Hello, and welcome to Co-Designed, a podcast co-created by faculty and students at the Center for Teaching and Learning at Southern New Hampshire University. Each week, we present a faculty-student team who has explored an issue around teaching, learning, and the student experience on our Manchester, New Hampshire campus. Questions about this podcast can be sent to me, Lynn Murray Chandler, at ctl@snhu.edu. Credit should be given to Moby and his Moby Gratis website for the song Isolate, which you've heard during this introduction. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Hello, everyone. This is Jacob, and I'm accompanied by Haley today. We are both ongoing seniors at Southern New Hampshire University, and we're both pursuing a major in graphic design and media arts. Today, we are accompanied by our professors, Dave Humphreys and Tracy Dow, and we have a few questions to ask them in relation to an online learning environment, especially in a creative field such as graphic design. So, without further ado, here we go. Haley?
Sure. So I guess my first question, and either one can answer first, how have you encouraged your students to be more interactive in an online environment?
Well, for starters, I've encouraged students to put on their cameras. You know, I'll say you don't have to put on your cameras, but it might be a good idea because this is a safe space to practice getting used to having your camera on, getting your environment looking the way you want it, so that if you were called for a job interview, you wouldn't have to worry about how you're going to behave or what your space looks like. So encourage cameras on. That seems to work pretty well. And then also breakout rooms. I've been trying to break out students into smaller groups. When it's the large section of class, nobody wants to participate, or there's two or three students that do all the participating for everyone. But in breakout rooms where there's only three or four students, they need to interact with each other. Dave, how about you?
I've tried to judge reactions just like I would in class and kind of create discussion flowing that way. I've wanted to use breakout rooms, but it usually we get caught up in other discussions, and by the time we have time to go into breakout rooms, there's like 2 minutes left, which is good. I agree with you, Tracy, about having the cameras on. I think that that really makes a big difference. But then there's also just some low energy days, and I find that that really impacts me as an instructor, professor as well. I feed off your energy. I find that when I'm in person, I'll get like hyped up in class and I'll leave class like, oh yeah, like I had a great class. Like I'm in a great mood. And remote, if the class is just on an off day, it's really hard to get that momentum. Jacob, you know, you've had me in class. Like I tell the best jokes and they land flat and, remotely. I don't know what it is. Just the delivery isn't there. And it's hard for me to sometimes get that going and then try to create it within myself, this level of, excitement and enthusiasm that can help spark it in others. So it really, it can be very day by day. It can be very day by day.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because there's one professor this semester who always says that when there's silence, that means we're having too much fun. Like he likes to joke, and I know I'm laughing and my camera's on so he might see it, but everyone else camera's off. Like who knows if they thought it was funny, and everyone could be laughing, but like he doesn't know that. And I feel so bad because I'm like, he's just trying to make it fun and no one's giving him anything to work with.
My question for the both of you is, obviously you both have been teaching for a while and this is going on our year and a half roughly of online remote learning. So my question for you is, do you find that when you are either creating a syllabus or creating work for a specific day or week or doing a planner or anything like that, do you find that you have to do a lot of things different when it comes to planning for remote classes compared to in-class, or do you think it's kind of the same?
I think for me, I take it you're pointing at the screen means I go. Okay. I think for me, it's not so much that I'm planning different content. It's that I have to plan my expectations accordingly. The content that I have, I think usually tends to translate pretty well between in classroom and remote, with the exception of one of my classes this semester, which Jacob, you're in it, is just not going as planned, at least from my end. I don't know if you all feel that from your end or not, but I had different visions in my head on how it would be proceeding. Anyways, the thing that I really have to do is sort of, I think, temper my expectations where I want you to achieve to a particular level, but it doesn't always work out that way because you're at home, because you don't have access to the equipment that we usually provide you. Because Haley, like you said, there's other things going on, like in your personal life, like just getting yourself out of bed and following a schedule can be hard. And so I try to take all that into account when I'm thinking about the quality of the work that comes out. And honestly, I've seen some work that is as good or better than I would have expected to see on campus. And I've seen some work that is not. I think that would be probably the nice way to say it, not. And there's a lot more of that in-between work. Usually on campus, I've found, and Tracy, you might have a different experience than me, but I find that work tends to drift out of the middle, that kind of like, yeah, it's okay area, and into the, wow, this is amazing, and to the, I don't think you read the assignment prompt territory. Now I feel like it's kind of clumping in the middle into the, yeah, it's okay, it's not bad, but there's outliers on either end, but most of it is kind of in that okay chunk.
That sounds about right. One of the things that remote has changed, because we don't have access to the tools, and also just everyone's situation has been different, is I've been a lot more lenient with deadlines. Yes, we have deadlines. Life is all about deadlines, but someone might be working with their laptop on their bed and lost their charger. Like, you know, you really can't control those things. Whereas if we're in the classroom, you plug in, someone else has a charger right there you can plug in, you know. So our cameras, you may not have the camera you need for video class, but you can check it out down the hall, but you can't do that at home. So been a little bit more lenient about getting things done on time.
I kind of had a similar question to that, but I guess to add on to it, have you seen a change for better or maybe worse when you've had to change your curriculum to accommodate for online learning?
I think it's been roughly the same. I don't know, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like I've had to add, everything is pretty much the same, but I've had to add more supplemental materials. So I will videotape class. So if you happen to be checking out, or just your sister keeps running through the room while we're doing class, you can go back and watch the video and get the exact same content multiple times. I've also added extra one-on-one help days that students seem to be taking advantage of. Just, you know, hey, I had a question. I forgot how to find this menu in InDesign. 5 minutes, we log on, they share their screen, we fix it, we're done. So a little bit more one-on-one, a little bit more supplemental materials, but other than that, everything seems to be roughly the same.
Yeah, I've been trying to find more YouTube videos that help explain some of the concepts so that they can review those. So if what I'm saying doesn't work, you know, there's a 15-minute YouTube video that says really close to the exact same thing, but they present it in a different way. So I try to do that as well as my normal lectures or class environment. In terms of help days, in times, I try to keep my schedule as open as possible. And I have a Calendly scheduling, so people can just schedule appointments with me. But I find I see a lot fewer people than I do around campus. On campus, people tend to drop by my office hours, or not even office hours, just come by and sit and talk. And we talk about films and we talk about what they're up to, and I really get to know people.
I did that a lot.
Now online, it's just sort of, you know, sometimes I don't see people that I used to see almost every day on campus. I don't even see them in class because they don't turn their cameras on. And I feel like the relationships are suffering unless there's people are really making an active effort to meet with me. Like, I try to engage as much as I can, but I also don't want to force myself. Like, I don't want to be like, I'm coming to meet with you at 1 o'clock just to talk. So like, there's only so much I can do. So I try to make myself open and available, but I feel like a lot of people, when they're done with class, they're done with class. The camera goes off, the headphones go on, and Netflix comes on the computer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know from a student perspective, I'm in Tracy's class at the moment, and you know, we have one synchronous day, one asynchronous, and I feel like, I don't know, I feel that I don't connect as much. Like, of course, we have these extracurriculars that we do together, and that's been awesome, but I feel like I don't get to connect with you, Tracy, as much as I would if we were in class on campus. But I also haven't been taking advantage of like those one-on-one sessions that you mentioned, because I feel like I shouldn't go to those because I'm not like needing help. Instead, I'm more just like, oh, you know, people who might really need help should be taking up those slots instead.
I have a couple regulars. They have weekly scheduled times that they come just to talk about whatever the heck they want to talk about. And it's actually kind of fun, but it's like, you know, one week we're talking about the Salem Historical Society, and the next week they want to talk about, I don't know, is Bridgerton or some, there's some TV show that I haven't seen that they want to talk. Yeah. You're right though, because on campus we had the lounge area right outside the classroom. So people would run into each other and you'd connect outside of class because there's the caf, there's your office, there's the lounge area. When Rose is feeding us, wherever she sets up the food station, everybody's, you know, connecting there. You're right.
Yeah, I haven't seen Harry nearly as much as I would have if I was on campus, and that's just a shame.
It is.
For better or worse.
Well,
I've not seen Harry nearly as much either. You get a lot more done.
All right, I have a question. I'm going to try and frame this or phrase this in the best way that I can. But if COVID was a thing, or Tracy and Dave, if you were students during COVID pursuing your design careers or creative endeavors or whatever, how do you think you would have responded to the situation with online learning and, like we said, motivation and all of that kind of stuff?
Did they have the internet when you were in school, Tracy?
Oh my God, Dave, you're going to get a beat when we're done with this podcast. Yes, the internet existed, Dave, when I was in school. Thanks.
Do you want to take it first?
Sure. I feel like we've been a little bit like students when we had to shut down and go home because of COVID. So in addition to setting up your classes, all of a sudden the Cooper Union in New York opened up a whole bunch. In fact, I went to one last night. They opened up a whole bunch of free, like, 2-hour lectures. There was one on the Remembering Milton Glaser. There's some on typography. So all of a sudden I'm taking these online classes, or even the AIGA design conference this year, and Adobe was online. So it's like, there's more open to us. There's more things to learn. So in a way, since we've been home, I've been taking advantage of that and learning more. Now, would 19-year-old Tracy have done that? Probably not. If I'm going to be honest with you, I probably would have just done my classwork.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think that, like, I really, kind of being on the other side of higher ed, I really appreciate all of the opportunities, and it excites me. Like, Tracy, you mentioned Adobe Max. Like, it was nice not to have to pay $1,000 plus airfare and still get the same content.
It was nice to not have to wait in line for the restroom, right, or the snack bar in between sessions.
Oh my gosh. and it was just like, it was great to have that out there and to be able to, like, I had it as an assignment for students that would never have gotten to experience it. And I've had so many students just say how excited they were to be able to watch these videos, and it's awesome. And, you know, I've really tried to embrace that. I've taken some online classes. I've done some, you know, some conferences, things like that, to help, I guess, better myself. But yeah, if I were a 19-year-old Dave, 19-year-old Dave would not have done well remotely. I can think of other things that I probably would have been doing that weren't schoolwork. And I would not have... I would not have done as well as I would on campus. Cause I really needed the in-person environment, the kind of peer discussions. those types of things really helped me a lot. And I know, like, if I look back at my grades, even for big lecture classes, and I went to UMass Amherst, so big lectures range from like 300 to, I think one class had 1500 people in it, which is a pretty large lecture. So, like, those grades for me tended not to be so great because I would just sit there. I would sleep sometimes. I would just kind of zone out other times because it wasn't engaging. But my smaller classes, I majored in journalism, and being in a class with like five or six other people, I was like, you know, always working really hard, trying to like push myself to do the next thing. And I loved classes like that. So I think, you know, me being online would have not been, it wouldn't have been great.
Yeah, Dave, just to kind of add to that last point, I can definitely relate to that because I have friends who go to big D1 schools, Purdue, Villanova, like Michigan, all those kind of schools. And they're like, yeah, I had 800 people in my Calc 2 class or whatever. And I'm like, the most people I've ever had in a class is maybe 25. So if I'm not in class, like my professor is texting me and they're like, where the heck are you? Like, you're late. And so I think as much as going to a big school like that could be fun, really knowing your professor on a personal level and being able to actually talk to them and not just be another face in the crowd is something that's really important for when you're getting an education in specific, especially in graphic design or creative.
It's one of the big reasons I chose SNU because the class sizes were so, they were so much like high school. I couldn't do a lecture hall with hundreds of people in it. That seems so mind-boggling to me.
It's nice too from our perspective because we know who you are and we know the way you work and we can work with you to make sure you're getting what you need.
Yeah.
And like, there's nothing better for me than like at graduation to like see Jacob or you, Haley, or I don't think I've ever had you in class though, have I?
No, unfortunately.
maybe fortunately, but for you. To be able to see you and think to myself, like, yeah, this person's ready to go do stuff. And, like, know that I helped prepare you. Like, certainly didn't do everything, but I did everything I could to prepare you for the next steps. And there's just really some, like, a sense of, like, like that, like proud parent sense of like, I get to see my chickadee out of the nest. It's something that definitely wouldn't happen in a school. If I had 300 people in a class, I'd be like, you know, just, it's like a factory. It's like ship them out and on with the next bunch.
Well, another benefit to the small classes is we know you very well. We know your style. So if you had a problem or there's something going on, we know right away. So we can, you know, pull you aside and address it and get you back on track or help you out. Whereas if you were in a bigger school, you may get lost completely. Or by the time we catch up with you and say, hey, Jacob, you've missed 10 classes, it might be too late.
My next question, how would you handle a student maybe who now or who would have normally performed well in your courses that you'd seen in the past, who's now maybe struggling in an online environment, how would you handle that student or try to help them?
I think the one-on-ones have been a really big help. So if I've encountered a student that's had some trouble, for starters, I always hang on at the end of class. So, and you'd be surprised how many people hang on at the end of class with the questions that they've been waiting to ask without everybody in front of them. But then setting up the one-on-one, I did have somebody last semester that we had to meet at like 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night just because of their work schedule, their class schedule, but they were struggling and they just needed that just one-on-one person to talk to, help guide them on a few projects and get them back on track. So it's just making more time in my schedule for that one or two people that need that extra help.
Yeah, and I find that with that making more time, it's never an issue for me if the person wants to be there, if they're trying to succeed. I will meet with you whenever, if it will benefit you. So I would agree with you with everything you said, Tracy. I would add that I'm thinking of one person in particular, but I know that there's a few that did much better on campus, but they don't seem to want to improve in a remote environment. And so I'm chalking that up to family stuff, home stuff, just general overwhelm. So I'm kind of giving them a pass. Like, I'm like, okay, you know what? We're going to be back next semester. You'll have time to turn it around. This isn't the end. I'm going to be here when you need me, and I'll answer any questions you have. But realistically, I don't expect the same caliber of work that I would have expected from you, you know, a year and a half ago, which is too bad. But, you know, after being remote for this long, I think that some people it's clicking with. Some people are like, okay, I can work. I'm going to have to work a little harder, or, you know, maybe I'm going to do the best I can with the circumstances, which might mean sliding a little bit. And then there's other people who are just like, you know what? I don't like this. I've, you know, maybe not given up, but I'm certainly not going to give it 100%. I'm going to give it the bare minimum. And those are the people that it's frustrating to me, but I'm also excited to see them when we get back on campus because, you know, I want them to get that confidence back.
So just like you mentioned, thankfully, Sue announced that we're going to be back in the fall, which is very exciting. I think everybody's kind of looking forward to that. But since we've been at home for so long and this COVID-19 pandemic has kind of changed, or definitely has changed everybody, do you think it's going to be kind of surreal to be back in an in-person environment? Or do you think it's going to be any different in any way post-COVID? Like, I mean, hopefully post-COVID it'll be gone, but...
Just based on the students that hang out after class or do their remote days, like one-on-one stuff, I think you guys are going to be so excited to see each other that, you know, it's just good collaboration. You're going to be working on more projects together. I feel like the labs might end up actually being busier, or our lounge space outside the labs where you sometimes hang out before and after class, I think are also going to be busier just because you've missed each other so much and you want to get together and talk about ideas.
Yeah, because people are kind of like fiending for that in-person connection, being able to go get breakfast and then walk to class and collaborate and work on projects together. And that's definitely something I'm looking forward to as well. But yeah,
there's also I think from our end, there's a lot of faculty who have realized the value of other different styles of learning. So I'm excited to see what happens, you know, not just lecturing, standing up in front of people, being able to leverage online platforms, being able to, you know, use a flipped classroom approach where you're doing the work in class. And I know Tracy and I both do this a lot already, but I'm excited to see that happen in more places where you're doing learning at home on your own time through online resources, online tools. I think more and more professors are realizing that, yeah, you know what, you can do it. And I'm excited about that. I think more than anything, though, I'm just really excited to be back among other people. Really, the only people I see now are like my daughter, my dog, who doesn't even come hang out with me because she's so sick of me, and my wife. And it'll be nice to have, you know, an outlet that's not just Netflix.
I'm excited to see what this year's freshman class is going to. I mean, obviously I'm a senior and I won't be on campus, but I'm excited to see how they're going to adapt to in-class, that in-class environment, and if their relationships will change because they haven't met the people they've been interacting with for a year. So that'll definitely be really interesting to see.
I think we're in the middle of this really big cultural shift that is coming like a decade too soon. And I think that the pandemic has forced a lot of these changes to happen really quickly. So, you know, if you look through like these big kind of cultural milestones, they tend to happen in fits and spurts, but they tend to be organic. So it's like, okay, like this thing, like the internet, right? So like, I remember growing up, we didn't have a computer, but I remember getting a computer without the internet. And then eventually we got the internet and it was like, it felt like it was the next step. And this is more just like, hey, go. And everyone's like, what do we do? I don't know. Nobody knows. Just figure it out. Figure out like tomorrow.
I think for designers, it's going to be a great asset, though, because you know how we have to learn, you know, how the software changes. We tell the students this all the time, like what we're showing you in class today, 4 years from now is going to be different. And I don't think they believe us until 4 years go by and they're like, oh, my God, Adobe's different. But we have to learn it on our own, find a tutorial, find a TikTok, find a website, something that's telling us about it. So in a way, it's preparing you a little bit better for getting out in the real world because you do have to find other resources.
My last question was more so just like, I want to know if you have any tips for professors who might be having trouble with the whole online environment that you think will help both online and then maybe transfer over into in the in-class environment.
I think one of the biggest tips that I would give to other professors is to admit when you don't know something or when you're struggling with something. I found like I've made mistakes many a time, and I found that when I tell the students, yeah, you know what, I messed up, or I'm trying this out, and if it doesn't work, we'll figure out something else, that they're a lot more amenable to that experimentation. They don't like it's when I'm, you know, people are like steadfast about like, this is the way you do it and this is the only way you do it, that I think stuff tends to break and students tend to get really angry. And, you know, I've like butchered some stuff with classes in the past, and students are just like, okay, I guess we're not doing that then. And I think it's just all about like, you know, just owning your mistakes and realizing nobody expects anybody to be perfect. I certainly hope not. But you know, I think when you admit to mistakes, when you admit to messing up, people are a lot more to forgive you and to not dwell on that, especially if it doesn't hurt them. So like, you know, I messed up and now your grade's gonna suffer because of it. Like, that's not fair and it's not holding me accountable. So that's my big tip.
I agree with Dave, that and maybe a little patience. And understanding that not everyone's situation is the same. So just because this is how we've always done it, this is just how we've always had this deadline, and this is the level you're supposed to be at, you may have to be a little flexible. Everyone's situation's a little different, so a little bit of empathy goes a long way.
Well, thank you both for taking the time to answer our questions.
Thank you, Dave and Tracy.
Thank you, guys.
I think this was a lot of fun. Definitely hope that we can maybe do something like this in the future again, hopefully in person. Maybe we can all be sitting in the same room. That would be pretty cool. But yeah, definitely had a lot of fun doing this, and thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Thank you.